Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for September 26th. I'm Claire O'Dea.
I'm telling you, aren't I? My pockets were empty, apart from a few fags, a few coins. Things were a bit tight-like, tighter than tight, to be honest.
Donal McLaughlin from Glasgow, reading from No Much of a Talker, the novel he translated from Swiss German into his own Glaswegian dialect. The book, written by Pedro Lenz, tells the story of a likeable drifter who goes by the nickname Goalie. Just out of jail and struggling to get back on his feet, Goalie tries to keep despair at bay with humour, drink and a bid for love.
So he goes into Cobbles, like I say, and order a coffee with schnapps. Regula asks, have I the money for it? Not a bad question, I admit. Do me a favour, Regia Geat, spare me the patter. Bring me over the coffee just and we'll take it from there. Total patter merchant or what, she goes, and goes and fetches it. She's like that when she comes back. I didn't put it through. And she looks at me the one way. I don't know what way myself. Different anywho, different for usual. With a bit more longing in her eyes or something. I've no idea what like it is for other guys. See me but. That kind of thing warms my heart. Toasts my insides, it does. A woman like Reggie looking at me like that. Thanks, Reggie, love. You'll get your reward in heaven. The money and all sometime.
Both Lenz, who grew up in a village in Switzerland, and McLaughlin, whose childhood was split between Northern Ireland and Scotland, grew up speaking a language that was clearly different from the written word they learned at school. Now the two writers are firm friends, brought together by a literary exchange programme between Glasgow and Bern. Both were in Bern recently to take part in the Bern Literary Festival. In this special programme from swissinfo.ch, we chat with the two authors about what inspires them. Over coffee without schnapps in the Hotel Bern, I first asked Lenz and McLaughlin about the Glasgow connection.
Yeah, that's how it was. I came to Bern for 6 months, and a year later, Pedro came to Glasgow. At the time, there was a literary exchange between the city of Glasgow and the city of Bern. And when Pedro came, already in advance, I translated some texts, and these translations went down very well.
My first reading after 1 week in Glasgow was in the Goethe Institute, yeah, in the, yeah, German. And there we met a lot of Glaswegian writers. And I was in many countries, but there in Glasgow, I felt most of these Glaswegian writers were Irish background, yeah, Glaswegian. Yeah. But I felt like at home with them from the beginning. So they invited me to go to see football matches, for dinner, for theatre auditions. I was all the time. I never felt alone at Glasgow or never felt strange there.
And Donal, you also had your experience of being immersed in life in Switzerland. Yep. When I look reading your translation, I think you have to know Switzerland, the country, before you can attempt to translate a Swiss piece of work, especially written in Swiss German.
That's always the case. I studied German in Glasgow, and the focus throughout my studies was actually very much on German and West German literature at the time. We did read Max Frisch, we read Dürrenmatt and so on, but the main focus would have been on German writing from West Germany when Germany was still divided. But I did come to Switzerland, and you're right, it's not just a question of language, it's not coping with the language in the text, be that standard German with a Swiss accent, as it were, or literature written in different Swiss dialects. It's also a question of knowing about the country. Knowing about the culture, and it certainly helps to have lived here and to have such wonderful contacts with a number of Swiss writers and the people at ProHale Lazio.
Mm-hmm. And you've translated for several Swiss writers at this stage.
Yeah, I've actually already translated 6 books by Urs Widmer, who died sadly earlier this year, and I've translated Pedro Lenz, Christoph Simon, Arno Kamenisch, Monica Cantieni as well.
I guess then there's less room for other German language writers. You've been sort of sucked in by the Swiss.
I've been very happy to be sucked in.
So, Pedro, again, maybe you can answer in German if you prefer. I think there's this interesting relationship that the Swiss have with German, and I think it could be echoed with the Scots and their relationship with the English language and the Irish too. It's close, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
And there can be a bit of discomfort towards High German, Standard German. Could you have written your book in High German?
It's a very interesting question, because earlier in my career I wrote in Standard German and just used dialect for audio for CDs. I didn't have the courage to write entire books in dialect. And when I was in Glasgow with my school English, my first experience on the street was, hey, I don't understand the people. What's happening here? I was good at English in school, but I can't understand the people. And then I noticed, they're speaking Glaswegian. That's their form of English. And I discussed this with a lot of people. And at the beginning, I asked them if they could speak standard English for me. And they said, no problem, we'll do that. But after 2 minutes, they switched back to Glaswegian. And I noticed it's exactly the same as us in Switzerland. I'd always had this complex about Swiss German in relation to the standard German language. But Scottish colleagues like Tom Leonard or Jerry Luce and Donal, they said to me, no, there is no wrong and right, high and low. We are here and we speak how we speak. That is nothing against the English or against the Americans. It's just how we speak. It's just the same in Switzerland. I don't speak Swiss German against the Germans, but I speak how I speak. They gave me so much courage. And they said, if you speak Swiss German all day, then you should write in Swiss German. That's your language. You know exactly how it should sound. And I said, but there are no rules in Swiss German. And they said, we didn't have any rules either. And I said, we have no tradition. We don't either. You have to make a start. And that emboldened me so much that I came home and wrote only in Swiss German from then on.
So, was it an obvious decision then that this book should be written in another dialect?
Absolutely, yeah. I appreciate that there may be academics out there who would raise the question, why translate this book into Glaswegian? Is it appropriate, apparently, to equate Bern and Glasgow? This is the type of consideration that sometimes arises in translation studies. But the simple answer to this one is it is absolutely appropriate. Pedro came to Glasgow, as he's just described. Pedro was reading people like James Kilman in Glasgow, read with Tom Leonard in Glasgow. And as he said himself just now, he might not have written his first novel, Der Goli Bin Ig, had he not been in Glasgow and had this experience and seen how writers in Glasgow were working with the language that surrounds them in their everyday lives, with the language of their own community. So it's absolutely appropriate to translate this novel into Glaswegian. We'll use that label for the sake of convenience, but I always say I basically created a voice for the character in the novel. And for me, it's very important to avoid terms like Scots, because there is a whole lobby that understandably works on behalf of Scots and tries to promote Scots back home. But I personally have not ever learned Scots, so I don't feel it's appropriate to describe the language in the book as such. I created a voice for this character, and we took it from there.
That's very important what he just said, because in writing Goli, I also used my language from Langenthal, the language I had in my ear. It's very important to underline that. We're not politically fighting for one specifically defined language, but we're fighting for the language we have in our ears.
Für die Sprache, die wir im Ohr haben.
Yeah. Also, ich werde you're expressing it, not even fighting. It's just natural.
It's absolutely natural.
And we've been criticised by a lot of Scottish nationalists, or in my case, Bernese dialect police, because they say you should write it like this or like that. That would be so much more correct. And I say it's not about being correct or incorrect for me. It's about the sound.
On the sound.
But the crucial thing is, if we're used to hearing this form of language on the bus, on the train, round about us in the streets. The question is, how do you write it down? But in my case, the authors I've been reading from the early 80s onwards had been doing precisely the same thing. So what they have achieved in terms of their short stories, novels, poetry, etc., informs my translation. You're always hearing things like isney, widney, kidney, didney, and so on, and you need to know or be able to work out that those are forms of is not, could not, did not, would not, etc. Yeah, but they have a lovely music and rhythm to them, and there's a lot of heart and soul and warmth and colour and humour in these forms of language too, and they're just so important. Pedro knows that absolutely. I know that too. It's so crucial for my own writing also.
But the decision to translate it into this Glaswegian dialect is not the most commercial decision in the world. You were doing it to preserve something in the original, but if you wanted to reach a wider audience...
I can't always personally decide on the translator, but in this case with Donald, and with the Italian, French and German translators, I was consulted. Naturally, we discussed this issue, but for me it was clear from the beginning that the sound took precedence over commercial considerations. Of course, we have the problem now that the translation is not that easily readable in the United States, but I don't mind because it can still be translated by an American translator.
Wenn das sein muss, kann das meinetwegen ein US-Amerikaner noch einmal übersetzen.
The other thing to say is that these forms of language do not necessarily rule out commercial success. You don't have to assume that because you use these voices in your writing that you won't be read in London or you won't be read in New York. James Kilman, for example, has many, many fans in the USA. And I always feel that audiences just need to be open to the possibility of understanding this. And I think most people perhaps need to read a page or two or need to read aloud rather than silently in order to find their way in. But once they find their way in, they're hooked. And so these Scottish writers, like the Irish writers as well, have had a huge amount of success with London publishers. Yeah, despite using local forms of language, or because they do.
Just one thing about when you say Glaswegian, how different is that from the dialect in other parts of Scotland?
Well, I'm using the label Glaswegian for convenience, really. Yeah? But above all, we're talking about a voice. Voice is the crucial factor, I think, in contemporary Scottish writing, and has been for about 30 years now. So you're really seeking on the page to reflect the voices that you hear round about you, the voice that is consistent with the character, yeah, rather than trying to produce or reproduce a dialect, you know, following the rules of a grammar book or a dictionary, which probably doesn't exist.
Donal McLaughlin, Scottish translator and author, talking about his translation of Pedro Lenz's novel, Der Goalie Bin Ich. The literal translation is The Goalie Is Me, or I Am the Goalie. But McLaughlin's translation is entitled No Much of a Talker. I'll leave you now with the voice of Pedro Lenz reading an extract from his novel in the original Swiss German. Remember, it's all about the sound. I'm Claire O'Dea. Thank you for listening.
Angefangen hat es eigentlich viel früher. Aber ich könnte jetzt auch gerade so gut behaupten, es hat am Ende oben angefangen, ein paar Tage nachdem, dass ich von Witzby zurückkomme. Vielleicht war es etwa 10 Uhr, vielleicht eine halbe Stunde später, spielt keine Rolle. Auf alle Fälle hatte es Beisen wie Zoll, Schummertal, November und irgendein Herz so schwer in einen alten, nassen Bodenlumpen. Gehe ich also ins Maison als fertig nehmen. Das Abschiedsgeld für die Kiste habe ich schon verdoppelt, ohne genau zu wissen, wie.